Kent State, their name does something for people. When people hear that you're a Kent State grad, they're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of nurses like that. And they're good nurses. They want to hire you because you're from Kent State in their nursing program. They teach the art of nursing. They teach the therapeutic communication. They teach how to really care for the person and not just knowledge. Even when it's hard in classes, even when this is a new adjustment, the school itself has the people and the support that you need to be the best nurse that you can be.
Begin at Kent State University.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. We need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. Go to podsurvey.com/firstdegree and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers that you won't want to skip. And once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/firstdegree. podsurvey.com/firstdegree. Thanks for your help. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. We've been away for a while. I mean, we've been here. We've been recording episodes, but we've been away from each other for a little bit
in the studio. It was a little sad period in my life the last couple of weeks here.
A little depressing.
It's kind of sad.
It's great to be back in this beautiful, brand new studio.
It is a delight, isn't it?
We can't seem to stop talking about
it. No, we love
it. It's so surreal to come in here.
Listen, we've spent a lot of time, hard work, and money on this nice little office. And we hope that you're watching on Patreon because there is video.
Yes.
So if you haven't joined our Patreon yet, there's so many fun things going on over there, including watching us fuck up in real time in video.
Come look at our faces.
Come look at our faces.
While we fuck up and see the shame in our eyes in real time.
Yep. Watching how the sausage is made, as we say.
Totally.
How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. We've had a really good day so far. I have no complaints.
Jared?
Honestly, I'm feeling 100% today.
100%?
Yeah, I have a spicy mango friend.
Mango friend.
Yes.
They're not paying me for this, but it's one of my favorite drinks in the world, so I'm happy.
No Golden complaints. Road Spicy Mango Cart, please sponsor us. Please.
Yeah, Golden Road. We go to the brewery all the time in Glendale. Give us your money.
So today is February 2nd. We're finally out of January.
Holy shit.
What a fucking long ass month.
Oh my gosh.
Did you feel like January was long or short? You just said that like it was like a flash in a pan.
I still feel like it's like about to be Thanksgiving. Like I wish we could go back right before Thanksgiving because it really is my favorite like couple of months for the whole year. And I can't believe it's over. I know we have to do a whole year before we do it again.
I just hate the beginning of the year.
Me too.
The holidays are like my favorite time of the year, like November, December.
Yeah.
And I feel like it goes by faster every year as I get older. Like I feel like I didn't even get a chance to enjoy it last year. It
totally.
Just went so quick.
Well,
I was
working.
Gone, writing the record.
I was traveling. Yeah, we didn't really get a second. But it's like January drags so hard because it's like you're still in winter, but there's like nothing going on.
And work emails don't really get responded back to in a timely manner. Everyone's still kind of on vacation. Like anyone with
in their
power,
minds. Yeah.
They're still out.
People are on their like resorts, you know, like winter vacation.
They're in like Martha's Vineyard or wherever else.
That would be, I feel like Martha's Vineyard is frozen
summer,
over.
Yeah. But whatever.
But I want to go. Anyways, it's February 2nd. So Should we get into the dark day?
We're
finally in February. We're on the up and up. By the way, the time changes in like a month and then it doesn't change back ever again. Yes.
Until next year?
No, until never.
Is that just for California or is that for...
I think that's for the whole country.
Wait, they're changing it for everyone?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
So daylight savings.
It used to be for farmers.
It's spring forward forever.
We're springing.
They're never going back.
That means in December... it'll actually stay light out until like 6 instead of like 4:45.
And this is like the first groundbreaking year. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
That's exciting news.
Allegedly. I get all my news from Jack. So
No, but they've been talking about this for a long time, because a lot of this spring forward backward thing was because of farmers, but then they don't even utilize it anymore.
No, it's like not applicable anymore. Yes. And time is a construct and not even real. So we might as well have a little bit lighter of a day, you know?
Everything's a construct.
So anyways, that is allegedly happening in like 6 weeks. But today is February 2nd. There's a dark day. The day was dark as fuck.
Oh no.
February 2nd, 1847, the first Donner Party member dies during the group's journey through the Sierra Nevada Mountain Pass. Now, we talked about the Donner Party very briefly in one of our episodes involving cannibalism. And I think the main theme of the episode was about a plane that had crashed and the surviving people had resorted to cannibalism. We went to other cannibalism examples. Donner Party is like one of the main ones. But
it's weird that Donner sounds like Dahmer.
Yeah,
it's that's weird, right?
Oh, yes. Ooh, I didn't even think about the cannibalism aspect.
Cannibalistic tie.
Bizarro.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know about the Donner Party, I'm going to give you kind of like a TLDR.
I don't know that much.
Okay, so this was a very disastrous trip west through the Oregon Trail. I don't know if they're actually on like the actual Oregon Trail during this time, but it was, you know, all the settlers were moving west. And it ended up killing 42 people and turned many of their survivors into cannibals. So a total of 87 people joined up in the South Pass in Wyoming in October of 1846 to make a trip through the Sierra Nevada Mountains to California, which, by the way, I cannot believe people did this.
It's a crazy drive.
Honestly.
Like with roads.
To
now.
Do this no, with a cart over like the mountain range. Yeah.
In the middle of the
with
winter.
Bears and coyotes.
Like, I wonder what's on the other side of this. Better keep going.
Moose.
It's not even that. It's the weather. Like
the weather's not great.
It's just fucking crazy that anybody, I can't believe humanity is to the point it's at, because I'd be like, no.
But it was manifest destiny. They had to cross the whole continent.
They really did. So they were all crossing, and this group was two large families. It was the Donners and the Reeds. And they were the heart of the traveling group with 7 adults and 16 children. There were a lot of children, including there was a few newborns, which I'm like, this is a risky traveling with newborns. They had only a book as the guide, and this led them through the mountain pass south of modern day Salt Lake City. So these people, obviously,
Was there a map in the book or just words?
I think it was. I literally
think, just like, hey, I know it's going to get really, really rough.
I don't have any pointers, but you got this.
No, I'm assuming there's maps, because I feel like maps were invented before the 1800s, like to maybe get us to America in the first place. But what my research just said, they only had a book. So maybe it was just a riddle.
It was
that
MapQuest,
they had
directions.
Yeah.
Printed out.
But the craziest part was, and I don't think I have this in my outline for right now, but during a point of the trail, there was supposedly this shortcut that happened. It was called like the Hartley shortcut, or whoever the guy, it wasn't that, but it was some.
But cool if it is.
It was some guy's last name. And he was like, here's a shortcut to kind of get you through. Like, you don't have to go through the mountains.
That's Chrishell's ex-husband.
Yeah. It was not
Sunset.
It wasn't Justin Hartley, but like maybe one of his ancestors. And it's also not that, because I just made that up.
I
but
love it.
It was some sort of a shortcut that this guy had made up.
I don't trust it.
It ended
That's
up
fair.
Nobody had traveled the shortcut before. Not even the guy that made it up. So he was just guessing.
It was an alleged shortcut.
And it apparently ended up like adding all of this fucking like so many miles through treacherous land where they had to like hatch it down like brush and trees in the dead of winter. Anyways, so I don't know if I think the Donners went.
So they
that.
Ate him first, right?
He wasn't there.
Oh, he lucked out.
There was just like a sign that it's like, take the shortcut from Justin Hartley down the road.
This guy was maybe
Chrishell
the first.
Signs off on this.
Yes.
The first documented prankster.
Oh my God.
So they didn't really have a path to follow. So it took this group 16 days to go only 36 miles. So they're barely even fucking moving.
Bummer.
Eventually, they were forced to leave their wagons loaded with hundreds of pounds of flour and bacon and their cattle behind. They ended up getting completely trapped by snow. Obviously, the weather was horrible. And they were forced to make camp for the winter near a small lake now known as Donner Lake. Like, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Northwest of Lake Tahoe. They were all starving. A group of 15 adults known as the Forlorn Hope attempted to get to this place called Sutter's Fort near San Francisco, which was 100 miles away for help. About half the group died in the harsh conditions, and the others were forced to eat their fallen companions' remains to survive. So that is where the cannibalism started, because they had nothing to eat. And I know some people refused because it was obviously literally like unimaginable, but some of them did. And news of a few of them arrived at a Native American village. The news spread quickly. They had a rescue party, but by the time the rescue was complete, nearly half of the Donner Party, including the leader, his name was Georgie Boy, was dead.
Sorry, can I get that name one more time?
Georgie Boy?
Georgie Boy.
His name was George.
Oh, I thought it was like written down that his name was Georgie Boy.
I should have started with his name is George, and then I nicknamed him Georgie
that
Boy.
That can be your child.
Georgie Boy.
We're going to have a little Georgie Boy.
But it's a girl.
Georgie is a great name for a girl.
Georgie is a cute girl name.
Georgie Boy. So that is kind of the TLDR of the Donner Party. I mean, everybody, I think, remembers them as having to resort to cannibalism as a last chance of survival. But, you know, what the Donner Party did traverse is the Oregon Trail. And I thought we could have an Oregon Trail themed episode of Killing Time.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
are going to kind of dive into that for True Crime Rewind. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, on the stand, bitches. Okay. Every day, every week, we bring a person, place, or thing to the stand. We love it. We hate it. We talk about it. We vote on it. You vote on it on Instagram. And we see if it's guilty or not guilty.
I love this.
Alexis, you said you had two possibly for this week. So I kind of want to see what yours is.
Mine is going to be highly controversial. I'm going to get a lot of mean responses, and this will turn into a thing.
I love it.
But I was born on the West Coast, but I grew up on the East Coast. And what I've noticed is that East Coast, they pronounce Oregon like Oregon.
Mm.
And on the West Coast and in Oregon, they pronounce it Oregon. But I'll say, as you know, the people on the East Coast, they were kind of there first. They named all the other, I mean, my instinct is to believe the founders.
The settlers.
Yeah.
To be fair, the people on the West Coast are the people on the East Coast.
No. It took a long time to settle that land.
Yes.
But what were they calling Oregon or Oregon in New York when Oregon was being discovered is, I think, Oregon. People are going to be so mad about this. I can already anticipate, because I've already been corrected so many times just in real life.
I've always called it Oregon.
Yeah.
So I
like
found
you're,
out just now I've
you
been
do the
wrong.
Sci-fi pronunciation.
Yes,
like you live on an alien planet.
Yes.
Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. Like oregano.
Truly, the first time I heard Oregon, I was blown away, because we called it Oregon. My teachers, my classmates, everyone in New York, we call it Oregon.
Okay.
And we call it Nevada, not Nevada.
Oh, yeah. So you're wrong about both.
I guess.
It's just interesting
but
that
this
the two,
is my truth.
It's interesting that the two places that there's a discrepancy with pronunciation are so far from where you are.
Yes.
See, that's where I'm going to have to.
Well, I think New Yorkers and like people, like, I think there's a pretentious aspect here where they're like, it's Oregon, not Oregon.
I feel like. But I'll give a shout out to the people of New York, because I don't think their pretentious element really is actually there. You know what I mean? I think it's just like,
well,
just like,
yeah,
that's
down.
What it is. That's what we say. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's
what their grandparents.
It just like it is what it is, kind of a thing.
It is what it is.
For me, Oregon on the stand, I say not guilty, because we mean well. We don't know. We still know we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Like Oregon, yeah. Oregon.
If you're from Oregon,
tomato,
we mean
tomato,
no offense.
Oregon in sci-fi language. Can't we all be on the same
Oregon.
Team? You know, we know what we're talking about.
I love it. I'm going to say, I guess, not guilty.
I'm going to say not guilty. I feel like pronunciation.
Let's let it go.
Let people say things how they want to say.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
That's
next.
Where I
expression.
Stand.
Expression. Okay. So on the stand for me. This is something that the Donner Party and like anybody crossing the Oregon Trail probably had to do, I'm assuming, just out of like desperation.
Sure.
But it's something in 2023, like I think that we have a choice to, you know, decide what we're going to do in the moment. And that is wearing or not wearing It's not wearing shoes in a situation that you should be wearing
that
shoes.
That requires shoes.
They, like, for example, I think this might have come from the Facebook group or maybe I saw it somewhere else. But the example was this person was at a buffet at their hotel. And in the buffet, there was somebody in the buffet line barefoot.
No.
In pajamas, just completely bare feet in the middle of a hotel grabbing some scrambled eggs. And they were saying how unsanitary and gross this is. You know, I think the three of us are pretty disgusted by bare feet on planes, at airports. Like, I don't need to see your feet anywhere, honestly, other than at the beach.
What about a walk? Pool, what about maybe a walk down the hallway to get some ice at your hotel?
Shoes.
Barefoot.
I don't do any of that shit without shoes. It's
quick. It's a 20-second turnaround. It's a quick little, you know, you just tiptoe down the hallway and come on back.
It kind of depends if the hotel has carpet or a hardwood floor. Because I feel like hardwood floor is not as bad, but like a carpet is pretty like
repugnant.
Yeah, and like they're not cleaning it.
I'm with that.
But yeah, like unless you're at the beach or like at a pool, I don't think that there's any excuse for you to be shoeless somewhere. Okay. And again, like I said, like people on the Oregon Trail, you know, they probably lost some of their shoes and they had to be shoeless. So
I've seen people go barefoot on what I would consider the grossest ground you could stand on. And that is a stage in any size venue, like club and smaller.
Well, you know who loves to do that is Brandon Boyd.
Yes.
But he like brings his own little rug.
But see, Incubus is big enough.
What? He brings his own little rug?
Oh yeah, he has a rug. He has this whole thing, but he definitely goes barefoot, but I think he's staying on his rug.
Incubus is a badass band.
Well, fuck yeah.
And they're a big enough band where a lot of the stages that they're playing on are probably routinely clean.
Yeah.
And they're in like big, nice, cushy, like, you know, amphitheaters. I've toured with so many guys that just roll out there, just no shoe. Just stepping all over that dingy little club stage. I sweat all over that every single night. I've seen people bleed on stage, spit on stage.
Ew.
If you don't respect your feet, you don't respect yourself. Because, like, there's a lot of pressure points in there. You just have to really be on top of it.
Yeah, like acupressure.
Like, they say to put, like, onions in your socks if you're sick. Like, your feet are emotionally connected to you and you should be on
onions
board with
in
that.
The socks.
No, oh, it's supposed to detox. I think it's like if you're sick. I can't ever do that. But
I
also
sooner die. I'm not putting an onion on my foot.
I'm doing
like
it.
I need that.
And like having it, like, because I sweat when I sleep, like having it seep into my mattress.
I am the sweatiest person that's ever existed. If I try to sleep with any fruit or vegetable, there's going to be mold in the morning. Like, I don't mean to be gross about it, but like anyone else at a comfortable temperature the whole night? I don't think so. No. I know I'm speaking for all of you.
No.
Jared, especially you.
I couldn't relate to something more. I couldn't tell you how panicked I am for our wedding and just thinking about possibly being sweaty.
Oh,
maybe
I know.
You should ship like a portable air conditioner there.
I'm going to wear one of those neck
Wait,
fans.
You know what I was told recently when I was getting my lasers done?
If you get Botox.
You could just get Botox right here on the top. Like, it wouldn't affect anything.
It's going to come out somewhere else. It's like plugging holes in a dam.
Well, at least it wouldn't come out your forehead. It could come out like on your neck.
What if it starts coming out of my eyeballs?
But you're worried about it on your forehead.
You're going to be crying that day anyway.
Yeah.
I will be
crying. Will be coming out of your eyeballs.
We're talking about Jack and Jared's wedding.
Anyway, sorry. Like, I didn't mean to be weeping. I didn't mean to pivot, but I'm
pivot.
Just saying. Pivot.
Sorry.
I didn't mean to pivot.
That was friends.
Oregon.
What are we talking about?
Feet.
Yeah, I don't know. Feet are pretty disgusting. And not to mention, the other thing with like going barefoot in a public place is like you're going to leave and then other people are going to traverse that area. It's just, it's.
And if you have like disgusting sweat, exsanguinating, then you don't want anyone else to have that.
Exsanguinating.
Exsanguinating is the worst word.
Somebody, I literally have never heard that word.
Is that
word
a real
life.
Word? Somebody.
Exsanguinate.
Are
you sure?
It's like bleeding out.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Exsanguinate.
Holy
We're
shit.
We're gonna look that up. I also think the type, you know, if you're the type of person that's gonna go barefoot at all these public areas that are like really gross, you're also gonna be the type of person that doesn't wash your feet when you come home.
Oh yeah.
And it's gonna be tracking in all of that nasty, nasty shit.
Hey, real quick. Exsanguinate. Verb, medicine. Drain a person, animal, or organ. Drain a person, animal, or organ, not to be confused with Oregon, of blood. Corroded and jugular vessels were cut to exsanguinate the heart.
Exsanguinate.
Wow, that is a word I've literally never heard of in my life.
Exsanguinate.
Wrinkle added to brain.
Wrinkle, brain.
Go.
Boop.
Okay, so barefoot in public is guilty.
Guilty.
Oh my God. To the execution chamber.
Yes. Jared?
I'm also going to follow suit with the public offense thought process here. And I'm going to go with people who, and I came up with this myself. Alexis did not just give me this idea. People who try to enter a public vessel, whether it be a subway or an elevator, before they let people get off.
Mm.
People who do the premature barge before letting people exit the
premature barge.
I get really, really panicked when a subway door opens. Luckily, I don't have to do this very often. But in my mind, I have 2 seconds to get on. Okay.
Sure.
So when I am, like, I understand the rush. I get it. But even as someone who's trying to get off, I think about, well, the first thought is, what if I get cut in half by the doors? Which is impossible. It will never
is
happen.
Is it impossible?
Well, this has happened, and we might want to look into this later. Somebody, this on an elevator, got stuck between the doors, and then it went up to the next floor and cut them in half.
Are we sure that's not an old wives' tale?
That's why I said, let's maybe discuss this further on.
It's like, did you ever watch that show Beyond Belief?
Yes.
There is an
I think I saw it on like 1,000 Ways to Die or something.
Oh, maybe.
Anyways, my fear in that situation is there's just not enough time for all of us to do this thing or the other. But I'm still respectful of people knowing that they need to exit the vehicle before I can get on it because just I'm pretty good with spatial awareness and I know how that works. I need somewhere to stand, so you need to get off.
I mean, I think it has to come. It comes around to people respecting other people's time and space. Like, it's if you think you're more important than somebody else, that you can come on the elevator before the person can get off. And now you've created this like whole traffic jam and it's going to take longer just because you think you're more important than the other person. Like, this is the main problem.
Do you think it would be wise, just like there's traffic school before you get your license, to do like people school?
You'd think they do there that in high school, along with taxes and home buying,
manners.
It's like shit we'll actually use.
Yeah, it's like if an alien
how
came
to open
to Earth,
a credit card,
anything,
and you had to be like, "Here's how people interact here. This is what you're supposed."
Unfortunately,
to do.
People don't even know how people are supposed to interact here, so that's the main issue.
I gotta say, I got one last thing to add with this. I've definitely been the spaced out person waiting for an elevator for a long time, and then you get really close to the door. Have you guys been there? Where it's like, you're just like, it's an empty building, right? You haven't seen a single other person, and you're just like expecting to just get right on because you've been waiting for so long and there's people on it and you're embarrassed. You're like, oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you let them out first, but I can certainly see how, like, I've honestly done it before, my mistake, where my instinct, the door opens and you just get on.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. The norm is that you let the people off first.
Of course.
But again, we're not, like, disparaging those because I've been in, like, a fugue state where you're kind of checked out.
Mm-hmm.
You're on an autopilot. You just do something, and your manners go out the window by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're excusing those behaviors because that does happen. Like, have you ever run a red light by accident?
Oh, yeah.
Even though you're totally fucking sober and focused, like, you're just somewhere else. And you have this, like, anomaly where you blow past a rule that is sort of a societal rule. These things happen, and I think that's actually super interesting, especially with the lights, because we're so conditioned with stoplights and stuff.
So it's an involuntary, possibly involuntary lapse in judgment.
You can tell when it's not, though.
I think it's right, but I mean, like, the times I've fucked this up is when it's, like, a true malfunction, where I'm like, whoa, of course I would wait, but I didn't, because I was more anticipating some other thing, you know, like the door opening or whatever.
I'm still going to say guilty.
Guilty.
No, I'm saying guilty 100%.
Guilty all the way, for sure.
Do we have a listener submitted on the stand?
Oh, you better believe we do.
Hi, I'm calling with an on the stand, and I am prosecuting group texts with more than 3 people. It drives me nuts, and I get it if you have, like, a core group of, like, a few friends. You know, sometimes those are okay, but, like, I'm in so many group texts that sometimes after work I have like 87 messages and I just don't have the will to go through all of that after being at work all day. And if you're in a group text with like your family. My family's huge, so we're constantly, like, bitching about things. I don't know. And then we've got, like, my crazy alt-right grandpa. Love him, but he's insane. Just saying crazy lunatic shit. And then, like, I'll get a side text from my stepmom that's like, hey, did you see the text about dinner Wednesday? Like, no, where? Buried in 30 messages ago? I didn't. Like, shoot me a separate text. I don't know. Drives me crazy. So guilty. And something, like, I guess for a little double on the stand, something that I think is not guilty, I'm defending, is just, like, a quick call. And I know this is going to be divisive, but I think, like, I would way rather just get a quick call letting me know something. I know sometimes that turns into a lot of, like, long chats, but it's nice to catch up, and you always feel better after a call, even though it's a little bit anxiety-inducing, depending on who it is. Okay, so group messages with more than three people, guilty. A call, not guilty. Bye.
All right, so here's the problem with a group chat, is that there's too many of them all the time, and you can't leave without people finding out that you left a group chat. So,
because they give you the notification if somebody leaves, and then it's like the biggest diss in the entire world.
Yeah, and so that's my anxiety around the whole thing, is like, you just, there's no easy out, and so I just let them pile up. And even, you know, a vacation group chat, they do end after the vacation, but, you know, 4 months out, there's some inside joke that's going to make its way back in. And then you have this little flutter of activity in about 10, 15 minutes.
This happened to our France group chat.
Yeah.
Or like our summertime France group chat.
It's like, ha ha, remember this? And everyone's like, yes, I do remember that. And then it's like,
I don't even remember who you are. But a couple group chats keep going.
Yeah.
And you just got to lay out who you are early on. I mean, I don't really contribute to any group chats. Period.
You're not a big group chat contributor.
I just can barely keep up with my taxes and my close friends that I'm just like to chime in on that shit. It's just not really my mental state.
I do a lot of ha-has. Like double tap and do the ha-ha.
Yeah, I do the ha-has too when I can.
See, I love a group chat. I am a contributor. I love it. I'm going through the whole day, very into the group chat, but I'm also I can multitask like a fucking champ. So like I can be talking to Jared about something super serious while in the group chat, while doing work at the same time. And it's just like, it's part of what fulfills my day. And my favorite part about a group chat, we're in like a best friends chat from our like friends in LA. I'm in a different group chat with some other of my friends that don't live here. That's like, there's 10 people, but there's always something going on. And there's always like at least five people kind of chatting it up in the group chat. But that means I don't have to be a part of it if I don't want to.
Right.
And I can chime in when I want to. And I can like scroll through hundreds of texts and know that I really didn't miss anything. And, you know, it's always kind of there.
You're never missing anything.
You're never missing anything.
Like, no one's life is that exciting.
Until like something fucking crazy happens. And then somebody's like, what did I miss? And it's like, somebody died.
But it's usually you with the exciting thing.
Well, no, like if something bad happens or even in the world.
What if you put something out there, though, and it doesn't get any reaction? That's a huge thing for me. Like, I don't want to like.
And that happens sometimes.
Because in my band, like texts, we're like going back and forth. And sometimes it gets really goofy. And I'm like, ha, what about this joke? And then it's like the next person says something and then it's ha, 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 ha. And well, I'm like, that's fuck.
That's the risk of group chats, because sometimes I contribute to group chats and then people are like asleep because I get up at like 6. Me and Jack are the only, and you, Jared, because of Jack, you and I and us are always up at like 6:40. So we're like,
Jared
sending
isn't, but I am.
I get up early.
But we're sending memes and shit early.
Yeah.
Everyone then is like really active at like 10. And by then I'm already in deep hype focus mode from like my meds and all my shit. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not coming up from this debacle until at least 8 hours. So I miss the entire group chat during the day, but I'm a group chatter at night in the morning.
Then you come back later on, and then you go through and let people know that you're now viewing it by giving them the ha-has?
No, by then I feel so overwhelmed and out of the loop and like not in the inside joke that I just
But that's, bail. I don't like when people do the ha. Like, it's like if you're catching up to the group chat, I don't
better
need
to contribute.
Well, I just don't need your reaction, like bubbles, because no. It says I get a notification, but all it is you thinking a text is funny from 8 hours ago.
And sometimes I just do that out of obligation personally. I just do it to be like, I'm still I here, saw guys. It.
Yeah.
Are we possibly against the bubbles? Because I know what you mean, how you get a
I'm
notification.
The bubbles,
and you
to
open
be honest,
it.
The bubbles are so lazy.
Yeah, because you open up your whole phone just to see a little haha.
Here is the only way that I think the bubble has good use, and it's when you're in a direct chat with somebody that's not a group chat. It's just you and the other person, and this is why I like group chats, because it's kind of, there's free flow, it's there's always something happening, you don't feel obligated. But when you are now obligated in a chat, say with somebody you don't talk to that often,
right,
something made you think of them and you're like kind of catching up, and then it's awkward and you're like, I really just want to leave. You can heart that last message.
Yeah.
And they know you saw it, and sending love, and I am now exiting the conversation. That is the only place that I feel like those bubbles are useful.
I love
too bad
that.
You can't just be like, this is Jacqueline Vanek signing off. I'm out. See ya. This conversation has ended.
Yeah. You could and you should and you will.
You know, I just...
Let's normalize that.
I don't need to... Well, Alexis is the type of person that she wants to like pad a text with like a...
I am too.
A little like...
Summary.
Some fluffs in the beginning. And I'm the type of person that's like, hey, Lex, like, when do you want to do this or this or that? And
you're like, hey, Jacqueline, how are you? How was your trip? Yeah. And she's like, we'll talk in person. I'm not telling you right now. Yeah. I'm like, are you good? And she's like, yeah. When do you want to schedule so-and-so? I'm like,
are
let's
you
talk about
me?
Your feelings. She's like, my feelings are numbed and buried with the stress and pressure of 1,000 fucking moons falling on this planet. And I'm like, so what is going on with your stuff? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it right now. I want to schedule our meeting. And I'm like, but can we talk then about your feelings? She's like, I guess.
No, we can talk. I love talking in person, but you love you love a catch up before it's like time to
I'm
get
like,
down to business.
So what are you doing? And you're like, I have an hour. We need to do this. I'm like, wait, so how was this weekend? And
yeah, she's you're like, how was your weekend? I'm like, fine.
I'm like, do you have any goss? And she's like, yes, but not right now. I'm like, I can't live without knowing.
We are literally, like, it's like so funny. We're complete opposites in that one regard.
But it's why we get along, because, I'm also not pushy. I'll be
and
like,
you don't take offense to
I'm
it.
I'm like, okay, you're being so coy. I can't wait. It just compounds the excitement I have. I'm like, you tease. I'll see you in three days and you'll tell me.
And I'm just like so annoyed. I'm like,
and
can
we schedule
this? And
the anticipation just... Yeah. Excites me for days.
Jack is a no fluff zone. No
well,
question.
She's just not going to fluff around if I'm like,
I'm not fluffing around.
She doesn't fluff
around. Oh, holy shit.
Straight to the point. I don't fluff around.
No fluffing around. No and fluffing. I'll be like, hey, so what's up with us? She's like, I have something to tell you, but not today. I'm like, you can't do that. She's like, I'm literally doing it. We have to focus. I'm like, why are you still by the book?
Yep.
Why?
She is.
Why can't you just tell me exactly what I want to know?
I also, like, I'm very particular in the time that I would like to, like, have personal talk and dish. Like, I don't want to
do it all the time.
When we're on Zencast or about to record an episode.
You
I want
to compartmentalize.
Yeah.
You have more boundaries than I could ever dream of.
Like, I want to sit across from you with like a glass of wine at like a nice restaurant, and then I want to goss.
Thursday, we're going to unload.
Yeah, we're going to goss.
So group texts. That's why it's so crazy.
Group texts, not guilty.
Guilty.
Will you do the mallet in front of Jack?
Yeah, here I come. Hold on. Hold the platform.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that.
Ooh.
God, all right, well, good. When we come back, we're diving into the Oregon Trail.
Okay, so if you are a watch person and you haven't heard of Movement Watches before, you are officially living under a rock, because they are the freaking best. And for Valentine's Day, they're going all in on a massive sale, so you can give the most thoughtful, lasting gift, a Movement Watch. So Movement Watches have this fresh, modern design that's created by a team who knows what it means to go from a 9-to-5 workday to 5-to-9 good times, my favorite times, and every adventure in between. And when you gift a Movement Watch, they'll see it and think of you every day. So it is the gift that keeps on giving, and one size fits all. So I just got my new Movement Watch. I got the signature square in gold, and I just love it because it feels a little bit vintage, but modern at the same time. And I'm not usually even a watch person, and I've been wearing it almost every day. So if you want to check out Movement, you've got the hookup with our friends at Movement. Save big on your
best Valentine's Day gift ever with 20% off at MVMT.com and use code FIRST. That's MVMT.com, code FIRST for 20% off.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Switching gears, we're going back to the Oregon Trail.
Can't wait.
So first, I want to like, what are your guys's, what's your visceral reaction when you think about the Oregon Trail? We're obviously going to the game because none of us really know about the real Oregon Trail. We know about the Oregon Trail video game that we played on our computers in the 90s.
It taught me how many different ways there are to die.
Yes.
One of them being dysentery, which I didn't learn the meaning of until years later.
The meat sweats?
The meat
sweats. Is that what dysentery is? Actually,
I think it's like death by diarrhea.
Dave Chappelle was like, I get the meat sweats. He called it the itis. But I think if you eat rotten meats, I think you also get meat sweats.
Mm. I actually have a definition of dysentery.
Let's hear it.
Well, it's not the definition, but it's what came up when I was looking through like Oregon Trail deaths. It says dysentery is a common ailment that can strike any group exposed to changes in their living habits, especially if accompanied by unsanitary conditions. Although seldom fatal if treated, it can be very dangerous for the very young and elderly. Guess what they use to treat dysentery?
Penicillin?
Castor oil.
Oh.
That's what they also say for hair growth.
Yeah.
Weird.
Which I think is it actually works for hair growth, probably not disease.
It's probably like an...
I think they drank it because it said it was used to treat dysentery and other bowel disorder. Maybe I need dysentery.
Maybe you need dysentery?
Castor oil.
Maybe it'll help my constipation.
You need dysentery?
I'm going to knock on wood.
Okay, so no, your question about where does Oregon Trail sort of ignite our experiences?
Yeah.
It's not what you asked, but I'm going to give you the answer I want. I remember the Oregon Trail being my introduction to the idea of manifest destiny, where it's like everyone on the East Coast, the founders in New England and et cetera, and Virginia and Baltimore, wherever all the founding fathers were, they're like, we got to get over there to California. And the people who sort of spearheaded this Oregon Trail route really changed the United States.
Yeah.
But at a huge cost. You know, there was a lot of death, obviously. Mm-hmm. The people who lived on the land and owned the land obviously didn't want infiltrators coming, and they fought against. There were diseases we'd never seen and conditions we never expected, right? Like meat spoiling, no food, harsh winters. But I just remember being on Long Island in my little classroom, playing from my little, like, all I knew was the Oregon Trail video game, which I think we all played. We're all in the age group for that.
Yep.
I mean, it was iconic.
And it was like, I remember distinctly a graphic where a guy's like, there's a cart and a rotten meat, and he's got a cloth over his nose because there's a rotting meat over here. And he's like, oh no, rotten meat. Like, that's dysentery. I just remember the graphics and being like, oh, these people really can't even be near their rotten meat. They've got to cover their nose or they'll die.
Yes. Can't go near that rotten meat.
It's sick.
You gotta get that rotten meat out of here.
Seriously. I think, like, my most fond memory is when you would go shoot all of the oxen. I think
that was the because bonus
your oxen
round.
Are taking too much grain or something.
Yeah. I mean, well, no, when you're like going out into the, you're trying to get your meat.
No, you're hunting. You're for, hunting for the your meat.
Or I don't know if it was oxen, but it was whatever they were hunting.
I mean, there were so many different, sometimes you'd be faced with a decision of whether or not you should try to cross like a river. And it's like literally everything can kill you. And I remember.
Are there eels in the river?
Ooh, I don't.
Hella eels.
Really?
Leeches?
Yeah, leeches.
Eels.
Did you see any leeches?
No, I never encountered a leech.
So you're lying.
No.
Okay.
Or wait. Now I'm confused.
He's getting gaslit. Okay.
So you're lying. I rest my case.
So I found a complete list of the ways that you could die in the Oregon Trail, and then I kind of want to go through us and if we were really on the Oregon Trail and like maybe what our strengths and weaknesses would be and how we would probably die. So
I cannot wait for this.
First, based on the text present on the disc images of the Apple II version, this is what some guy on Reddit believed the complete list of ways to die on the Oregon Trail was.
Love this.
Fever, dysentery, measles, cholera, typhoid, exhaustion, a snake bite, a broken leg, a broken arm, or drowning. I'm going to pick what I probably would like to have gone by because I did research.
You want to die from this.
And I feel like this is going to be the
easiest death.
The easiest death. And it was the most prevalent death, and that was cholera. So
you want cholera?
I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, all right.
So, I mean, disease was like a huge thing, obviously. They're living in these like disgusting conditions. They have all the spoiled meat, like whatever.
And they have nowhere to go. They're camping long term.
Yeah, and in the middle of the winter.
With no supply. They can't re-up their supplies. They have nothing.
So it said that 6 to 10% of all emigrants on the trail succumbed to some form of illness, which I thought would be more, but whatever. So cholera resulted in more illness and death than all the other like diseases that were there, and it results from a waterborne bacteria that thrives in polluted stagnant water. It says this is why it progresses rapidly and attacks the intestinal lining, producing severe diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and cramps. And the effects were so severe and rapid that victims often died within 12 hours of the first symptoms. And when I was researching this, it said that you could get cholera at breakfast and be dead by lunch.
Whoa.
Like, that's how fast it could knock somebody out. So I'm thinking, like, you know, as like a quick way to
if you're gonna have to lose the game,
then I feel like cholera might have been one of the best.
Like a long drawn out situation.
Oh, okay.
I don't want.
Oh, okay.
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't want a long drawn out.
I
want
to ride this out.
Like, Alexis, are you serious?
I want to break my leg and be left behind the convoy.
No, I do not want a long drawn out situation, which will lend me. You tell what's you want to die of, Jared.
Okay, so the one that I am absolutely certain would have gotten me would have been dysentery because
you love meat.
I'll see an expiration date on food, and I'll just fucking leapfrog right over.
Yeah, he loves to not. I'll do a
smell, and then if it smells edible, I'll do a taste, and then I'll look around and I'll be like, "Am I still here?" And then I'll put it on my food. Sure. I love meat. Big fan of meat.
He'll eat a whole chicken with his hands.
I just...
For fun.
You know, I could see that being the thing that really...
That could take you out?
Yeah, just... Yeah.
What about you, Lex?
Well, since none of you want to stick around to hang out, I'm going to go with snake bite. Because wow. I'm going to chase you right into the dark. I don't want to be by myself on the Oregon Trail if you're dead from...
Where's the fun, you know?
Truly. And it's like a snake bite, like... It's imagine the attention I'll get while everyone, oh my God, her arms, get the anti-venom. I'll be like, help, take care of my children. And then they'll be like, oh my God, what a tragedy.
Imagine
and then a snake.
And then it'll be like, should we take her with us or leave her behind? And then it'll be like, dude, everybody has to
leave me. I'll martyr myself. Oh, and my I God. Will just be the patron saint of snakes.
The attention I will receive. I should have picked that.
I'll be fawned over in my last hours. Not that I need that in my true life, but I think on the brink of death, I might get more dramatic.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready to like be like, come help me in my final moments.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I feel like probably one of the worst ways to go would be like a broken arm or leg.
Yeah, because then you probably end up at some point you'd have to get left behind. Maybe
they're definitely leaving you behind. Down. It's going to be something that like it ends up having like gets infected and has a bacteria, and then you like slowly perish.
Dude, to have a broken arm is so painful and miserable.
Painful.
Like, I mean, having any sprained or broken bone is fucking awful.
No.
And if you were in the no.
So other than disease, accidents were like a big death causer.
Oh no.
The most frequent, can you guess what the most frequent accident that caused a death was?
A wagon wheel like collapsing. Because
did you see my doc?
I'm having a guess.
Sounds like you did see it.
I did not see your doc. I'm thinking about it logistically.
Being run over by a wagon wheel was the most frequent cause of injury or death.
Okay. I was going to say a wagon wheel, because they're made of wood.
Yeah.
I was going to say a wagon wheel because the terrain was garbage.
Yeah.
Collapsing and then the wagon like, you know,
oh,
imploding basically.
Well, I think the terrain was so bad that people would fall off the wagon and then the wagon would just run them over.
Because you, I mean, they're being pulled by horses. So
yeah,
it's
also
like it's
probably the person driving the wagon had dysentery. Like everyone's just fucking.
They had worms in their brain.
Everyone's malnutrition. Yes. And to be honest, like to not like fuck around, like the conditions were obscene, and yeah. The fact that anyone made it is incredible.
It's insane.
So the accidents are not surprising because people aren't on their best game when they're trudging through the fucking wilderness with no water or survival techniques or food.
Like literal nightmare.
Yeah. It's like, of course mistakes happen where someone's like delirious and stumbles in front of the wheel and gets run over.
Jeez.
Yeah. They have like a fever of like 105 degrees and they're just like,
where am I?
Yeah.
I'm back in England. Yeah. I wish.
I'm
all
so
these
cozy.
People are like, why the fuck did we
coulda,
do this?
Shoulda, woulda just Dude. Been in London chilling.
Okay. So the second biggest accident that would kill people were firearms being discharged accidentally.
So nothing's really changed there.
Yeah.
Accidental. Well, I bet you guns that there, they had no safety. They were just like muskets.
And they
like
just like probably went off randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're loaded because they
or
take
like
an hour to load.
The triggers were
and you're
sensitive.
Like, yeah.
Their guns were making at home. Like they're just super trigger sensitive guns.
And then the last thing was stampeding livestock.
Ooh.
Well, they've got to stand up for themselves, so that doesn't surprise me.
That's wild.
They should have had more stampedes in the Oregon Trail game. Like, there should be a threat coming back to
you. I bet you they were underfed and underwatered, and I bet you they were pissed.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing is other causes of injury or death included lightning, hailstorms, grass fires. I think these are like very small percentages.
Yeah, but they happened.
Grass fires, gunpowder explosions, snake bite, and suicide.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
My last question, I guess, to like put a ribbon on this is what is the order of death that the three of us would go in?
Who would die first?
And also, I do want to cap this. What do you think our strengths and weaknesses would be on the order?
I honestly think I would make it a while.
I do too.
I'm really fucking scrappy and
you're scrappy.
Slytherin.
Jack is surprisingly scrappy too. She's Jack a tough
and I,
cookie.
But you might go first, Jared. I hate to say it.
You think I'm going first?
I think so.
Probably protecting both of you.
I'm telling you, Jack is the most suspiciously athletic person I've ever met.
But this is where the Oregon Trail would get me. I do not bode well in temperatures slightly too hot or slightly too cold.
I think you underestimate your ability, though. But like because you are so agile, you're really scrappy, sort of non-reactive person in a good way, where I really do think you would do well.
So we're thinking Jared's dying first.
I think Jared's out
first. Fuck this. I have, wit.
But you're dying from an accident.
I would just be really hard.
An accident?
Jared's dying from an accident.
But I'm such a fucking stubborn bitch. Like, it would be really hard to kill me.
You're a cockroach.
I would, like, crawl.
Yeah. You're a cockroach.
With no legs. Yeah. To be like, told you I'd win. But, like, truly.
You would survive out of spite.
I mean... my torso gone, crawling through the desert to be like, told you I'd win Jared as Jared's dying, and I'd crawl past his dead body.
You would be the cannibal. You would eat it's just his juicy thigh. I might succumb to the elements.
I went to Dave and Buster's with this woman, and she's just like throwing basketballs in a hoop, and I'm like, how are you just good at this?
Here's the thing.
She's so agile.
You by yourself would go further than either of us by ourselves.
Well, because my will.
Your will and your resilience.
Well, and you know, but I would want to prove my parents wrong.
There you go. She's just driven purely by vengeance.
It works. Yeah, I don't have enough. If you ever want to find the drive to do anything, just look at your parents.
Oh, dude.
I don't have enough vengeance in me.
Well, see, it's the reason that...
No.
Like, I feel like I have the brains. I feel like I have all of that stuff, the wit. Like, I could... The problem is my application. Mm. Like, I feel like I'm bad at applying. Whereas, I feel like Jack is not that you're the
She's
opposite.
She's very pragmatic.
But you're...
Pragmatic.
Yeah. Yes,
she can like...
Yes. Your applied like wisdom would take you, I think, further than my just like...
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel
see,
like...
I could see you getting like some sort of road rage or like some sort of like...
And making a mistake.
Thing would piss you off. Accident. And then you would do this thing because you're in a bad mood. And then you would kill yourself accidentally.
To be honest, if there were 40 people and three of us were in there, we would make it in the top 10.
Oh,
absolutely. I think the three of us would.
If it was a group effort, I think the three
of
us might
win. If it was just random people throughout the city, I feel like we would make
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
That's all.
I feel optimistic.
But we all have our different little strengths. If the three of us were left, holy fuck, I'm running away from you two because I know who's the odd woman out if one person has to die. But like, we don't have to go there. That's very Lord of the Flies thinking, although that does excite me.
Alexis
greatly.
Will win at the end of everybody just because you'll be like crawling out of hell.
I'll take
like,
a loophole.
With just your torso.
She'll
That's
scream,
right.
She'll scream, I did it, into the abyss. Into the,
Even though all my loved ones are dead. And there's no reason to be alive. Yep.
I love it. Oh my God. All right. Well, this is a great
one of my favorites.
Great.
This is a good killing time.
You know, we would be bad people if we had to be to survive in the Oregon Trail, and we're gonna hear some terrible things that you people have done next.
Next.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
This is a story of me sneaking into a boy from church's home to, you know, have sexual relations. So I grew up with this guy, and so I go to his house super early in the morning. It's like 3:00 in the morning or so. And sneak in, you know, we do things, and then I leave to go home to get ready for church for the next morning. And, you know, like I said, we all go to church together. So we go to church, and I see him at, like, I don't know him or anything like that, just, you know, the usual, just, you know, hey, give him, like, the cold shoulder, like, we didn't just, like, have, like, you know, this great night, and I like rocked his world, whatever. And so the bad thing is, like, his dad was the youth pastor for you know, our group, and he was talking about fornication, of course. What, you know, of course he was. So, you know, in the middle of him talking, like, I'm getting all nervous, like everybody around me can tell that something happened between us, which they possibly could not. We were not sitting nowhere near each other. talking to each other, anything. And I just, like, agree with the dad. Like, yes, fornication is wrong. People should know that it's okay to wait. There's no reason for you to have to, you know, have sex before marriage. All this stuff. Like, all these things didn't just happen under his roof. That was not holy. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell because, like, God clearly knows what we just did.
I love you. You are perfect, and you're truly changing the vocabulary I use in my day-to-day life, because no longer will sex be sex. Sex is now fornication.
Yes.
And that's just the way it's going to be now, because you moved me to such a degree that I'm going to change my diction. That being said, though, no one should feel bad about when they do it. I mean, it's gonna happen.
I mean, I feel like we've gotten so many stories about, you know,
wild
young sex and places of worship and adjacent and stuff like that. And, you know, that's just like a rite of passage, I feel like, back.
And you know what? You should never feel bad about anything you do, especially while you're figuring out who you are.
Don't feel pressured by the
fornicators.
Yeah, don't, you know, you're figuring yourself out. That's part of being young. And I feel like, as someone who grew up in and out of the church, it's like...
Jared, you went to church?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. Oh, you were joking.
I bet you had a good time.
Yeah.
And I hope you lived. And listen, fornicating can lead to all sorts of nonsense, like foolishness with idiots who don't deserve to be fornicated with. But yes. I will say, sometimes the stakes get a little higher. But I do think in your situation, especially given the religious environment you were in, it's scary to kind of experiment in that way.
Yeah.
But we all get there.
Yep. And lucky for you, you weren't struck by a lightning bolt.
Yes. And
we shouldn't
feel bad about it, you know?
Amen.
Amen.
Fornication for everyone.
Amen.
All right. Well, the last thing that we have to send us off into the night is a stanza. And I feel like Alexis wants to do freestyle.
So we are going to do a freestyle Constanza Sansa, and I have a perfect opening rhyming couplet.
You always get the... All right.
Well, she gets it easy because she starts it.
Yeah.
All right, go.
My name is George Costanza. Let's have a bonanza. My naked body's draped in organza. But you guys can do a whole new rhyming couplet now.
That's not... No. You have to at least have...
Jerry, dysentery. Your move.
Quite contrary. Why the hell did he eat those berries?
Oh, wow. Your turn.
He stepped in a trap. He was ensnared.
Wow. George without a shirt.
Dingleberries!
Quite hairy.
Yeah.
Where the fuck did he meet that guy, Gary?
My name's Kramer.
Oh, we're...
It's a non-disclaimer. I'm here to be the biggest blamer at Jared.
Oh.
Are you going to end it?
Who's very arid.
Dry.
In ruining this poem, which should be sacred. Didn't really work,
sacred.
But we're going for it.
Are we ending on sacred?
Are we done?
Yep.
You ended it in a way where it's like it didn't flow anymore.
We're like three Edgar Allan Poe's.
Honestly, that was hard.
It was, because you started it off.
Is that
bonanza.
Right?
I like the pivot into Kramer.
Nothing rhymes with Costanza.
She always does this, though. She always goes,
Kramer, blamer.
No, when you're at like kind of like a standstill, you always go, my name is George.
You hit us with bonanza. Nothing rhymes with bonanza.
Exactly. It's called like a stanza. Nothing rhymes with it. And you're giving
it's
me
like,
a hard time.
It's like orange.
Yeah. Although Eminem did rhyme orange.
Porridge.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Orange.
Something like that.
Orange. Anyways.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.